Blog Talk Radio.
July 29th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday. How's it going? Well, I hope you are cruising, because I know some days can get off to a pretty bumpy start. But you know what I've learned? Just hang on, and you know sooner or later those waters do get smoother. One of the best tricks is just not to panic, because it'll get in the way of being proactive and being positive. You know, things may seem a little out of control. I know the feeling. But one thing I guarantee you is under your control, and that's your attitude. And I don't mean that, you know, you should pretend that things are rosy and bright when they are not. But I do believe that trying to be proactive, you know, doing something, whatever you can to help yourself maneuver past or around the challenge is the right choice. I believe that trying to be positive is a decision that you make that supports you best when things feel rocky or tough. I'm telling you what I know, not just what I heard. So I'm wishing you the best and the brightest day, and I thank you for tuning in. You know, I know of something else that makes a lot of people feel a whole lot better. Money. Yeah. It can definitely affect your attitude. But did you know that many people have deeply rooted thoughts that can affect whether they prosper or have success? Well, yes, it can. In fact, you have to have a money-making mindset to make money. You have to have a prosperity mindset to prosper. You have to have a success mindset in order to be successful. It's true. My guest today is an expert on the subject. She knows how to get inside your head with you and help you discover what you really believe about yourself when it comes to money. She is internationally acclaimed as a business consultant and success coach, and she is going to share her wealth of knowledge today on the money mindset, aligning our inner compasses with wealth. I'm so happy to introduce the phenomenal Veronica Drake to the Foxology stage today. Hello there, Veronica.
Hey, Silver. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. I heard somebody say the other day I'm divinely tailored and highly favored. So I'm going with that.
Oh, what a beautiful thought.
Isn't it? I thought I would have to run away with that one. I thought, you know, that's really unique, but I'm going to start saying it too. I'm so happy to have you as a guest today. I'm looking forward to this chat. I really am so impressed by the information that I saw on your website and what you're doing and the programs that you're offering that are really inspiring and building the lives of women, and particularly in the areas of their dreams and aspirations. It's really, really great.
Thank you. My heart and soul is there.
I could tell, and literally I know you put that into each and every person you have an opportunity to work with. But I also know, like a lot of us, Veronica, you know, there's something that catapulted us in that direction or some place or another that impacted us enough that we knew it was going to be necessary. I also know that you have a pretty compelling personal story of your own. So I would like for us to start right there. Why don't you tell me first about your journey and some of the things that have instilled in you the desire to help others the rest of the way?
Oh, I will gladly do that. I'm very happy to share my story. October 2nd, 1962, it all began for me. Yep, I'm 50. I'll be 51 this year. Let's see, my story includes attempted suicide, divorce, infidelity, depression, $70,000 worth of debt, to earning $7,200 in 4 days. I have a big, long story. And like we all do, we either wallow in our story or we use our story to push us to the next level. And I've declared that my mess, if you will be my message. And I am a product of an alcoholic parent and a bipolar, borderline schizophrenic parent. So when I was growing up, there weren't a lot of options. I was an extrovert who was forced to become an introvert, because when you live under those circumstances, you don't get to fully blossom. Life is what it is. It was all I knew. My father is recovered now for 30 years, praise the Lord, has not had a drink. My mother still suffers with her illness, but as we learn more, that gets easier. My father, I believe that people do the best they can with where they're at. My father had the mentality that women don't go to college, they marry men that go to college. So I was taught to find that man, which I did very early on, 19 years old, married him at 20, had my first child at 21. So I followed suit. There was a lot of stuff, if you will, in between there. But the big pivotal moment that really pushed me over the edge, I stepped outside of my marriage, and I had an extramarital affair. I was 26 years old, and the affair was very abusive. I was physically and emotionally tortured, but it was part of my story. It was part of my legacy. It was what I knew. And so I sought the familiar and literally went to end my life. I could not live with what I had done. And so I was careening my car towards an abutment, and I wasn't raised with God. I just didn't have anything to anchor onto. I, of course, as a 26-year-old, I knew the theory of God, and I was driving my car ready to end my life, and I was screaming, you know, I don't believe in you. I used a little bit of profanity in there, and you need to show me, you know, me and all my arrogance, that you're here. Mm-hmm. And as cliche as it sounds, Silver, in that moment, something took over the space in my car with me. And I have chills to this day when I talk about it. I had an unbelievable feeling of love like I've never, ever felt before. And my foot came off the gas pedal, and I just remember hearing, I've always had you. And it was that moment, November 1996, I'll never forget the day, and I began to realize that everything was divinely ordered in my life, and everything was for a reason. And I get very emotional with this part of my story, but I give great thanks for everything that happened for me, and not to me. It happened for me. And my relationship with the divine is first and foremost in everything that I put forward, including my work. So that's it.
That's a pretty amazing story. That's a pretty amazing story. And Even though I know you've left out 1,000 details, I certainly can understand the amount of darkness that must have been facing you, because guilt has such a way of doing that to you. And I know from a couple of other stories of friends that the only light that they got too was in a very similar manner. It was a supernatural intervention right in the circumstance, in the moment. So I certainly do understand that, and thank God with you that you were able to pull out of that place in that way. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I know that, you know, those circumstances very often prepare us and lay a foundation and often carve a road for us to where we're headed. So when you look back at those things, Veronica, and you look toward the point where you know you embarked upon your calling to help women, what was going on in your head and in your life at that time that helped you create a plan to do actually that?
Great question. I always felt like something was missing. You kind of like when you leave the house and you can't, you know, you forgot something, but you don't know what it is. I always had that feeling. And I had gotten, in spite of the fact that I didn't get a traditional college degree, I worked myself into a piecemeal education. I was always hungry and curious to learn more. And I put together this education for myself, and I went out and I eventually got a job at a very successful dental practice where I managed to work myself up to running the office, which was an awesome job. It contained everything that we're supposed to, air quotes, want in life. I had great pay. I had, you know, amazing time off. I worked a four-day work week. There was tons of security. Business was thriving. But something felt wrong. And I knew that I wasn't fulfilled in a sense that I felt like I was making a difference. And I know that no matter where we serve, we're making some sort of difference. And I get that. But I knew my mission, my calling was deeper. And so I looked into the nonprofit world. And eventually, I transitioned into working a nonprofit job. And I thought I was going to save the world through nonprofit. Well, let me tell you, folks, it doesn't work that way. So I went through the ropes there. I was a development director and a marketing director at a local nonprofit, but still feeling the call. And through this time with these transitions, I had gone through a divorce, a very amicable divorce, and still very friendly, and had the support of my then ex-husband to help me transition. And during that time, I met somebody that I fell in love with, and we decided that we would have a relationship, and he happened to be a coworker, my boss at the nonprofit. So we knew that we both couldn't be there, and he had 30 years in at that point, and I had said, I've always wanted to do something more with my life. And he said, well, go for it. And I didn't know what the more was, Silver, but I had the opportunity to sit with the quiet and the stillness. And as a result, I ended up going to the International Coaching Academy and becoming a coach. And what I learned was that I had so many innate skills that it was very easy for me to transition into that world and to adopt that mentality of a coach. And so I launched my business. What they forgot to tell you in Coaching Academy is the 101s, the how-tos, you know. And so I got really lost in that business, meaning I was down and out. I was flat broke. $70,000 in debt, charged everything because I didn't have any income, struggled, frustrated, everything you can imagine. So it really was a test for me in perseverance. I mean, everything I'd gone through up to that point really did give me the foundation and the wherewithal to carry on and to stay the course. And it was tough, You talk about a rocky course. Oh, man, it was tough. But I stayed, and as a result, here I am.
When you consider that place again, you know, it sounded as if there were a couple things going on, not just financially, but I know that had to challenge you in a way that you just described. It has to bring out something special, something that compels you to change it. How would you describe that? And what did you do first to actually start putting it out there that you could help people?
First, I had to help myself. I had to come to terms in a way that I had thought I had done in the past, but I still had venom in me. I was still angry. I was still, I still kept myself protected, isolated, if you will, insulated, because I wasn't sure of the world. And so I held back a big piece of me. And it wasn't until I was able to get really honest with myself and come from a place of vulnerability that I could see clear to help other women explore their path and their journey. And it got ugly. It got really ugly. I mean, you know, things happen again, you know. My second marriage that I'm married to, this man is the love of my life. I mean, he supports me fully in my vision. He's just an amazing person. He had an affair. And I was devastated. I was completely beyond devastated. And I swore I couldn't breathe when I found this out. And I asked God, you know, what's going on here? You know, this is, you know, what's happening? And what I learned from that was this was yet another milestone in my spiritual development, which now I know was putting me on the path. I learned a very deep level of forgiveness that I never thought was possible, not only for him, but for myself. And so had that event not occurred, I probably wouldn't be healed. So I'm very grateful that that happened.
When you tell these stories, it's real obvious to me that when we are headed toward our life's calling and mission, there's a lot of clearing out that needs to happen, and I'm leading to what, you know, you talk about as far as wealth consciousness. They can't exist together. You can't have
no.
You
sir.
Can't have
no.
Poor, improductive thinking and think that you're going to be productive in life. So, as I hear how you went through things, I also hear you telling us how, oh, but I dug deep to get rid of that and get past that and get that cleared out so I can put something new there. So as we go into talking about the wealth consciousness, can you describe in any other way than what I've just said that's what was going on? Did you recognize that this was your preparation for your business ventures?
Not at first, no. At first, I was I had a very normal reaction to it, and I was fighting it and resistant to it. And I had for 20 years, well, maybe 15 years at that point, I had studied spiritual development. I had gotten a BA in spiritual counseling. I am certified in the law of attraction. All of those spiritual metaphysical things I knew. I knew them on an academic level, and I thought I knew them on a practical level. But what happened was because of that incident, it catapulted me back into the student. You know, we're never done being the student. And I erroneously thought I was done being the student, and even though I intellectually knew better. So as I put on the student hat again, I dug deeper into my spiritual learnings, and it occurred to me that it can't, the opposites can't coexist. Like, one has to supersede the other. Like, you're either there mentally, physically, emotionally, or you're not. And so I thought, something's out of alignment. You know, I'm doing all the right things. I've got great teachers helping me with this business. What's happening? You know, why am I not, you know, I was a material person. I'm very transparent. I was the woman that, you know, bought the designer clothes, and I was her. And then you get very humbled when you end up saying, oh, wow, I can get a pair of flip-flops at Walmart. You know, today's the day, boy. So something kind of happened, you know. You kind of, you know, you realize, oh, I didn't need those $150 shoes. What was I doing, you know? But anyway, I kind of got back on that path, and I turned inward again, and I thought, what is it? I've dealt with everything. What's going on? Well, what happened to me and what happens to every person, and this is what I teach, you live out your story, and most people live it out unconsciously, and they are reproducing the same thoughts over and over and over. Some people realize it. Most people don't realize it. And that's where I was. I sat down because I have to know. I mean, I'm very analytical. So I would literally sit down and write out my thought pattern. Like, I had a thought, I would jot it down. It would be like, okay, you know, I'm not making enough money. I'm really angry. What's going on? And then I'd look at the energy around that thought. And boy, my body tensed up. And guess what? You get more of what you think about. And whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, it still works. And the same is true about your thoughts. So, hey, it was true. I was getting more of the same, honey. I was poor.
Wow, that's pretty phenomenal. Listen, let me ask you this. I heard in all of that that you began some wealth consciousness of your own. I mean, going from, you know, buying your designer clothes and pricey shoes and all of that to being okay with getting flip-flops at Walmart is quite a one extreme to another.
Mm-hmm.
But, practically, we know that is wealth consciousness from a practical standpoint. So tell us about, let's start going in that direction. Tell us about why you feel wealth consciousness is so important, because from what I understand about what I read and what I know too, and you I'm sure teach this, it's all right to have money and to have a lot of it. So when we're talking about wealth consciousness in the sense that you want us to embrace it, would you give us a good idea of what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Number one, you have to give yourself permission to say it's okay that I have money or that I create money. When I was growing up, everybody has a story about money when they're growing up. And my money story was, there's never enough. Don't ask for things because we don't have the money to get them. You know, my paycheck doesn't go far enough. We lived in a very poverty-focused environment. And the reality is, as I grew older and now into adulthood, I could see that was perpetuated by my father's parents, who were Depression-era parents. They grew up in the Depression. And so, you know, what we know about that is you never knew. You hold on to it. So my dad, in turn, raised us with that mentality. And when you create a mindset, you either go into the behaviors of the tribe, of the community that you're raised in, or you go outside the tribe and you create kind of an opposite effect. So where my dad was a hoarder and a saver and his parents were, I went the extreme. My stuff, I just was a chargeaholic. I mean, I was earning an income, but I was also charging because I was I was living out my story. And my story, and this is key right here, when you identify what your story is tied to, you're able to accept it and let it go. And so what I was doing, I was tied to the story of recreating guilt and shame in my life. I was shameful that I had come from where I had come from. I didn't want anybody to know the life I came from. I was a very isolated child. I didn't, you would never have known that. I was the class clown. I was the one putting on the happy face, but I was always ashamed of that. And when I would have the affair later on in my life at age 25, I then continued to fuel the guilt mode. I felt guilty because I had a brother that was very sick growing up, and I was the healthy one. And, you know, I was always the one that had to be sit down and be good. We have a sick brother, and I felt guilty when I acted out. So going back to the money mindset, when I kept creating guilt and shame in my life, I was holding myself back from my earning potential. I kept myself stuck in that money story of lack and poverty. I hope that that made sense. That was kind of the long, it's very, I have a process, Silver, that I actually take my clients through that's very articulate and detailed. But was that understandable?
Oh, yeah, it's very simple to understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
For sure, for sure.
Good.
For sure. So were you going to continue?
Well, just to end up with that, when I decided to look into how to excavate the guilt and the shame, I needed a system. Like I sat down and I just thought, okay, so what? So I know it's guilt and shame. Now what? What do I do with this? You know? And my work is divinely given. I'm telling you, I treasure my quiet time. When I sit and things just flow into me. And so I sat my morning coffee and I just thought, how do I do this? Like, how do I teach this? How do I make it tangible? And I have this method I call the intuitive voice method. And I take my clients on a journey inside their feelings. Because everything in our life starts with a feeling. We erroneously think it starts with a thought, but the reality is it starts with a feeling. The body will feel, it will tell the brain to think, and then we act. And so I take you inside your body and let you trust what you were given. I mean, listen, think about what created us. We're not going to think wrong thoughts. It just, we can't. It doesn't happen. And when you get in touch with this energy inside of you, that's the ultimate level of guidance. And so I got in touch, guilt and shame helped me walk me through this. You know, I asked for it. And I was able to, and this is more difficult than it sounds, I was able to embrace the guilt and the shame at a level, it was gut-wrenching initially. Like I physically felt sick to my stomach when I would look into the guilt and the shame, and I would say, oh, I hate it. I don't want it there. It makes me sick. I couldn't sleep. And I just said, okay, it's part of me. It's part of me. And the divine plan includes loving all parts of us, just like the spirit does. And that is key.
So then I hear you saying to everyone who would like to prosper, who would like to have more wealth, that it's absolutely necessary if you have not been brought up, nurtured with, supported with information and dynamics that already tell you how good a thing it is to develop in these ways, that you've got some work to do. You've got to really look pretty deeply at yourself as far as how you are processing the things that you think about money. Because, you know, I know of, you know, a lot of people feel and misinterpret what we mean when we think, you know, when we talk about think, how powerful it is to think about what it is you want, because, you know, we can easily see ourselves holding a bundle of money and driving a great car and living in a big fancy house. But to go from the area where you're talking about literally cleaning your mental house to getting this new consciousness is going to take some substantial effort. I mean, you, when I hear you talk about it, I know you feel in your particular area there were a lot of obstacles to get over. When you're working with your clients, do you find that there are the similar challenges? Are they often different? Can you share some of the other types of mentalities that may impact an individual when they're trying to get there?
Sure. Most of it is they're stuck in their story. Their story is very sticky. And the story typically hinges around five words: love, security, recognition, validation, or status. One of those five words, lack of, usually keeps women, and I talk about women because that's who I focus on my work with, keeps women stuck. And they stay stuck in their story. And for me, my word was recognition. I was not getting self-recognition. I was not showing up fully prepared to recognize my self-worth. And therefore, my net worth was equal to my self-worth. It was a given. I mean, I'm factual. I'm telling you 100% fact that that's how it worked for me. And what I see in my clients, they come to me. I help emerging entrepreneurs build their business and kind of get up fast and quick because the learning curve for me was huge, and I don't want new entrepreneurs to experience that. I want you to feel successful. And so I go right in. I mean, I'm telling you, I am not a traditional business consultant in any sense of the word, but I can teach you the 101s after I excavate your junk. And there isn't one person that I've met or that I've worked with that doesn't carry their stuff around. It's just human nature.
So when we get past that, which I know you have a 6-month program that is your primary program.
Yep.
That you use when you're dealing with people. So you're going in, Veronica, and you're doing this excavation. And
yeah.
I can't imagine that it's really all over in just 6 months, because it's it's quite a challenge for any person to really rewire themselves and how they think. But you apparently, I like what you said about, let's do the get to the chase program. And I imagine that offers a tremendous amount of inspiration to anybody and confidence, the kind that you want them to have, that, yeah, that was old, this is the new, and this is the can do. So are you able to share, you know, without giving away everything that you offer to people, what are just a couple of other key factors in changing the consciousness of an individual who has had a poor mentality or poverty mentality?
Sure. You know, I like to tell my clients that we're going to set a diva state of mind. And a diva state of mind is a divinely inspired, victoriously aligned mind. And so when my clients work with me, we create a diva state of mind, okay? Then we divatize their environment. We divatize their money talk. We divatize their self-talk. And we divatize their spiritual practice. And what I found is, you know, I've kind of taken everything and I've put it into what I call my five R's. For growth and development: realize, reveal, release, reverence, and reciprocity. And those five R's are the foundation that we start with when it comes to changing the conditioned beliefs, the traditional, this is where I came from. You know, it's, I like to think when, I like to share a story quickly. When an elephant's born into captivity, it's tethered to a stake in the ground with a 5-foot chain or rope. And as the elephant grows, the chain or the rope doesn't change. The elephant has been conditioned to believe that it cannot move past the 5 feet. Now, it could probably very easily break the rope as it grows, but it's learned that it can't. And that's what we as human beings are taught with our belief system. The difference is we have the ability with the realization to release what we're tied to. And that's huge. That's the core.
Yes, it is. But I want to ask you, how do we do that? I know you've said it in a lot of words, but mm-hmm. you know, I remind all my guests that while I know that many of you, when you come on the air with me, are actually talking about the services and products that you offer to the public, but I like having enough out there for people who are listening to learn a couple of nuggets, if you will, that they can take with them. For so many of us, it's just mm-hmm. We hear something in the conversation that is the aha moment, you know, for us. We hear something that, oh, that's the one thing I needed to know about all of that. So I'm wanting to, well, you've said, everything you've said has been very, very valuable, very impacting, and I'm sure it's already got many wheels turning. But what can you tell us about how, when, you know, a lot of other people struggle with a repetitive nature in regard to what you're talking about? I can remember being there myself, and you repeat the same mistakes, thinking that you that time you did it right, but you're still
right.
dealing with a consciousness, even though you did steps that seem to be new and different, or new direction or a new goal, but that consciousness actually cuts you off at the pass.
Well, let me take you on a guided tour of the intuitive voice method that I use with clients, because this can be used anywhere, anytime to shift what it is that's happening inside of you. Okay? So
sure.
I'll give you an example of, you know, I had a client that was angry because her spouse wasn't supporting her. And she couldn't figure out, you know, she felt, she was very emotional about all of this. And so when the session starts, and this is how you all would do this at home, because you can do it anywhere, anytime, you want to get quiet. You just want to sit still. And you want to just breathe, and you want to get really focused on the breath, and it becomes just this. On the exhale, it's this. And then you want to drop in, and I call it drop in because I really want you to check in with your heart. I want you to go to your heart, and I want you to ask the question, what's happening? What am I feeling? Now you've got a particular situation, and you're dropping in, and you're asking what's happening. And you're going to come up with a word, and maybe the word's going to be angry, it's going to be frustrated, it's going to be emotional, whatever the word's going to be. And then I want you to ask yourself, what does that look like inside my body? What would a physical picture of that look like inside my body? And so maybe if I'm feeling angry, I see a fist, or it feels like a fist or a knot, if you will, in my gut. Okay? And so, right, you with me so far? So we go into the knot, okay? And we look at the knot, and what do we feel when we get that knot? We feel angry. We feel frustrated. And so when you feel angry and frustrated, how are you showing up in life? And then the client will go into, well, when I, you know, I throw things, I get isolated, whatever her answer is. And then I will say, I will lead her to this revelation that we are all different parts. So over here's the client, and normally she's gregarious and she's happy and she's loving and she's acceptant, and boy, she's up here, we love her. And then there's part of her over here who she's full of venom and she's angry and she shuts down and she, well, we don't necessarily like her. We don't want the world to see her. So you're having this internal struggle. And the way to shift that knot in the belly, that energy in the belly, is to just say, you know what? I accept that that's part of me. I don't have to love it. I don't have to want it there. But when I have acceptance for it, the scales get balanced. And you come back to a place that says you are aware of what you're feeling. And now you can operate from a place of complete awareness, complete acceptance. And when you make your decisions from that place, they are of the highest power. And so that's an experience that every client of mine gets, because that's the core work to having a successful life and a successful business, meaning a prosperous business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly understand you, and thank you for sharing that, because I know that so many people struggle with what you just described, and I think another explanation of it or another concept of it is being your becoming your authentic self, and that's where everything aligns in you. You accept yourself and understand yourself and know yourself, and it does make for a totally type of other existence and how you do life. You're absolutely right. So let me ask you this. Once you've gotten into that place where you feel balanced and centered and ready then for wealth consciousness, you talk about aligning your compass, which I like that, because it creates another internal, you know, visual for us. And an action as well. So when you say aligning it, now that was what you just described, a beginning part of the consciousness. How does that actually start taking us toward prospering?
Well, when you align your compass, it means, you know, you get your mind, body, and spirit in alignment with, and I'll just say, the big goals. So you put the big goal out there, and you become in alignment by accepting all parts of you, and you begin to see with clearer vision what the next step is. And so you're able to discover where you're going with clear eyes. Now, this is where the practical comes in a little bit here, because, you know, it's about the goals, it's about the vision. Once you understand who you are, where you come from, what your mission is, what your why is, and that all gets crystal clear for the client right away, because they're not swimming in the muck. So taking you from that point of, I've just accepted who I am, okay, to I'm going to move forward, and I use the relationship as the example. So I'm going to move forward in the relationship in a way that's healthy and accepting. Now, that doesn't mean we tolerate things that hurt us. That means that we can accept what is, and we have choices. And so when you're running a business and you look at the business and you say, well, I feel inferior. I feel a lot of fear. I have self-paralysis. Go within. Look at the self-paralysis. Figure out what it is. Is it because you don't know how to fill in the blank? Is it because you're swinging? You know, the Buddhists have a term, monkey mind, when you swing from thought to thought to thought to thought. You know, really get in tune with what's going on, and then you create an inspired plan of action. You know, I don't know if you, a few years back there was a book came out, and I'm sure you've heard of it, The Secret, you know, talked about the law of attraction and all that, and, you know, great book, whatever. But what, the part that got me on that book was they kind of missed highlighting the action part. You know, we don't get to eat bonbons and lay on the couch and wish it so. We need physical inspired action behind our work.
I agree. So, I think some of the implication there may have been that there was just think it and it'll be. I regard the book as a tool for sure. I'm not minimizing that, but I think unless you understood a lot of other types of activity that needed to take place, you may have missed that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's the part where I want to emphasize that, because, you know, owning your own business will always call up your stuff over and over and over again. And so, in fact, you know, this morning I had two clients where you have to go back in and revisit the stuff sometimes. I have to revisit my stuff. You know, it's never a one-size-fits-all process. I mean, I can give basic how-tos, but Susie and Carol and Sally are going to all have different paths that they're going to take to get to that level of success. And I'm very passionate about women creating their own economy. My tagline is helping women create their own economy, because I have a very personal motivation behind that. When I worked in nonprofit, I saw for the first time in my life hungry kids. I didn't grow up rich, and I didn't, you know, but we, you know, I didn't know. I mean, I saw it on the news, and, you know, as we all do. But in front of me, standing in front of me, there were hungry children. And I went home that night, and I cried, and I sobbed, and I was angry, and I said to God, what is going on here? Why, you know, why is this happening? And he, you know, I heard the answer. You know, I said, they need an angel, you know, and I heard the answer, well, you are their angel. Go be the angel. And so I created this business that I do so that I can help women feed their families consistently, because no child should go to bed hungry, and every woman has the ability to create her own income, her own economy. I did it. And that's my passion.
I want to ask you a couple of other questions as we, you know, go towards wrapping up. You mentioned The Secret and the Law of Attraction. Can you tell us how greatly the Law of Attraction does play in this whole dynamic of
sure.
creating wealth?
Huge, 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 huge. It is key, because think of this. If you get up in the morning and you stub your toe, and you think, oh, now, you know, that's gonna happen. Then you go in the hallway and you trip over whatever. Now you go in the shower and there's no hot water. And then you spill coffee. It's just one thought leads into the next. You see it? Now, when you feel fear because you're in a poverty mentality, you're going to think fearful thoughts. So every bill that comes in the mail, or every time you look at your checking account, you're going to magnify that thought, and you're just going to dwell on it. You're going to obsess on it, and it's going to take over. And our thoughts are energy. So at an energetic level, what's happening, and I'm living proof of this too, what you think about, you bring about. And so, for instance, if I'm going to keep creating thoughts of negativity, oh, I stubbed my toe, you know, now I'm mad, you know, you're going to keep getting it. If I keep thinking thoughts of lack, more lack is going to show up, because it's what I'm focusing on. And they're proving now, scientifically, at a DNA level, when you're in a negative situation, you are compromising your cells in your body, which creates disease in the body. And they've proven that when you turn it around and you become positive, the cells will regenerate. That's how we're built. And so when it comes to your business or it comes to your life and your finances, if you're constantly in that I don't have enough mode in your money story, think about it. You probably are on stomach medicine. You probably have irritable bowel. You're probably anxious. You're probably irritable. Maybe you smoke too much, drink too much, whatever. And all of this is negative stuff on top of negative stuff on top of negative stuff. So you're going to get more. Did that answer your question?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's part of it. So what's the opposite of that then? Just a couple, one or two things. What's the opposite of then that, that for a person?
So real quick, you get up in the morning, you stub your toe. You go out in the hall, you trip. But in the difference is you stub your toe, you just go, okay, boy, that hurts. Then I'm going to think about my day, and you know this is, and then you trip over whatever the basket that you know you left in the hall. And you're like, oh boy, you know, oh wait, look, I found my ring down here on the floor, or you spill your coffee on your favorite blouse, and instead of going into a story, you think, wow, look at this, it has a hole underneath here. I shouldn't have worn it anyway. You see how it's how you choose to think about things. You are in complete control of your attitude.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm in 1,000% agreement with that, and I think those are great examples of you just have to flip the script if you're going to attract it. You know, what did you just say? If you're going to, what did you think about?
What you think about?
Be about what
about.
You think. Yeah, what you think about, you bring about. That's absolutely true. Let me ask you another thing. You said something earlier that I probably heard it several other ways but didn't key in on it like I did when I just heard you say it. I have another friend who is a success coach, and he was on with me a few months ago. And I had actually he had actually taken time a couple of times to sit down with me and offer me some coaching, which I will always appreciate because it really did help me go in a direction that I needed to, Kevin Kowalki. But he said something about prosperity and wealth that you said, two words. You have to, well, three words, but I wrote down, be ready. But you have to be ready for it. And I found that I didn't understand what Kevin meant. Because I'm thinking, when are we not ever ready to be wealthy? You know, it can happen, you know. I think we're welcoming that, you know, at any point. But it stuck in my head, and it's never left. I like that you said it too, and I want you to tell us what you mean. Because there's a, you know, certainly who would not want to have a more prosperous, I'm saying people who are trying to build businesses or trying to come out of debt and things like that. Of course, there's a certain type of ready, but what are you talking about when you say you have to be ready for it? What do you mean?
Well, from my perspective, there's a responsibility that comes with wealth. You don't just get to be wealthy without responsibility. I mean, the responsibility of showing up every day in the right mindset, you know, allows you to be ready to take on what wealth brings. Because, you know, as we sit and we think, oh, I want more money, I want more money, well, let's realize more money, more stuff, you know, and in a moment that stuff can be taken away. So are you, my philosophy is be ready, you know, to keep looking, because you're always going to have to go back in. The more money you get, the more headaches, quote-unquote headaches, you could perceive that you get. And so you have to be in a right mindset. Everything is mindset with this money. Being responsible, showing up in the right places, again, going back to who you surround yourself with. You know, what does your circle look like? What does your self-talk look like? You know, in order to attract it, I'm going to go back to attract it. You've got to have all those things in place. If you're going to surround yourself with people of lack and negativity, you're going to get more of that. So being ready, for me, is the prep work. And I'm not go ahead.
He did explain that, but he also said something, and if you can, you can reflect on this too. He talked in terms of you have to be ready to receive it, as if there were a type of openness to what is yours to have and embrace. And is that pretty much what you were talking about at the top of the show?
Absolutely.
You know, knowing that. Okay. Would you just reflect on that again briefly?
Well, again, being open to receiving it and knowing that we're worth it is key. I mean, if you don't believe you're worth it, it's not going to flow into you. Money is energy, and we attract that into us. And so if I have an open heart and if I have an open belief system, you know, I'm going to bring it to me. And wealth cannot be attracted. Wealth cannot be pursued. It must be attracted. So we can't chase wealth. We have to attract it. And the way we attract it is by being ready. And the way that we become ready is by being willing. And here's the other thing, the mindset. Nobody wants us to be poor. You know, nobody wants people to walk around. There's no glory in poverty. You know, spirit doesn't mean for us to be poor. We were given gifts so that we could open up and flourish in every way possible. And so when you give honor,
absolutely,
right? When you give honor, you get more of that. So being ready is a big conversation.
One other part I'd like for you to talk about in regard to that, because again, I don't want anybody to think that being ready and attracting wealth leaves out the component that says there are steps to success and that there's work involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the most common example is, you know, there has to be hard work behind it. Say your dream, your goal is to drive a Mercedes. I mean, how's that Mercedes going to get in the driveway? Well, it's certainly not because you're going to watch The Price is Right. I mean, it's going to be about a process of, again, work. What path can I take? Okay, because here's my vision. Okay, this is what I want to attract, a Mercedes. Well, how would I get to that Mercedes? So, all right, wait a minute. I got to go back here. I got to get in alignment, because mostly money is going to get us that Mercedes. So how am I going to earn my money? What's that going to look like for me? Is it going to be tightening up my money story? Is it going to be closing up the channels of debt? Is it going to be there's some action that needs to take place? We need to take an active role in creating our economy. And I don't buy into this whole world thing. I mean, I'm not naive. I know it's out there. I understand that. Every person has the ability to create their own economy. Every person. You know, we live in a world where we're overstocked in everything. You know?
Well,
what
you said was exactly what I wanted to hear, that action plays a part in the attraction. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, that action plays a role in the attraction of wealth as well. So very good. Well, this has been an incredible conversation, really wonderful. Thank you for all that you have shared. Let's tell people how they can connect with you. You have a lot of information that I believe will help a lot of people really get their lives turned around, and I know that's what your goal is. So let's tell people how they can reach out to you.
Sure. My website is veronicadrake.co. That's C-O, veronicadrake.co. And when you get to my website, if you are an emerging entrepreneur, meaning you're just starting out in your business, maybe you're in business less than 3 to 5 years, get my free expert ebook. I give content. It's tangible, you can do it content. Sign up for it. It's as soon as you come to my website, veronicadrake.co. And I'd love you to read my blog and give me some feedback. I give practical hands-on content on my blog too. So I love hearing from my followers. I love it. My clients are like my family.
Well, I've loved talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I adore you.
Yeah.
I adore you.
Oh, thank you so much. I certainly am having a great time doing Foxology and offering up the type of guests that I do. to empower the lives of other people, inspire them and motivate them to live lives that are really even more wonderful than where they are. So thank you again. I'm going to look forward to reaching out to you again real soon. I'm going to call you a little later today because you said something, and I know you said it insightfully, intuitively, and prophetically that we're going to be on the same stage together, and so I want to talk about that.
Amen.
Right away.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to that. So again, thank you so much, Veronica, and have an amazing day. I'll talk to you a little bit later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And as always, I'm very, very grateful to you as a listener and want to thank you for tuning in today or either downloading the show. It's always a pleasant privilege for me to be able to share again very special guests and what they're doing and how it can be a help to you. Please tell your friends about Foxology. It usually airs on Monday, 11:30 Central Standard Time, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, and always promise you I'm going to have something that will offer you some positive and promising, powerful potential field information. So I want you to have a great day. Remember some of the things that were said by Veronica. You get more out of what you think about, and we are never done being a student. So with that in mind, I hope that this information has been a blessing to you. Make it a wonderful day. And again, thank you for listening.